Thanks very much, Mr. I was just a bit intimidated by this. Means that you have for keeping speakers to time, so I shall be brief. I'm sorry for rushing off. This is a cock-up of organisation in the opening weeks of the term and a clash of meetings. But I just wanted to thank people for coming. And I didn't want to, in a way, lay things on you too heavily in the first week of being here. But I wanted you to understand just exactly where we are. This is not just a university campus. It, in some ways, it is the war zone. And I say that with a sense of sadness more than accusation. Because those of us who were opposed to the war on Iraq, basically were arguing that, amongst other things, before very long, the war would make its own way into our own stomping ground of cities and communities all around the UK. And it would make its way into home turf by way of creating a climate of fear and uncertainty about the nature of the threat to our society. If there are terrorist threats, for me, they are inextricably linked with the gratuitous war that we chose to fight against the people of Iraq. And so, in a sense, it is understandable that people would see us as a legitimate target when we treat other people's civil societies as legitimate and gratuitous targets. But the nature of that fear then starts to look at the enemy within. And the really sad thing for me about where the university figures in here is that it's not just about the defence of academic freedom. It's the defence of intellectual integrity and honesty. Because what has happened to Hisham Yasser is really outrageous. Now, I won't go into too much detail about your circumstances, Hisham, but suffice it to say that Hisham was in the middle of postgraduate research here. For reasons outside his control, the funding stream from his home country was arbitrarily stopped, not just for him, but for large numbers of other students. And as a way of trying to finance the final year of his postgraduate research, Hisham then started to work within the university, with the help of the university, on administrative work that would allow him to cover the cost of completing the PhD. That was the sort of, so much for the innocent actual reality of his situation. It changed in relation to a piece of academic research that was going on into the basis of terrorism, all above board, all with proper supervision. And Hisham's role in this was only in relation to a document that was available on a public website, and which the researcher wanted to download and have printed off, and which a member of the staff at the university thought should be reported and investigated, and was then rolled out. So within a matter of an hour, was the subject of a major national police and security investigation, and that investigation swept up Hisham and rebranded him as a terrorist in a matter of hours. Such was the cock-up in its organisation that as the reality of Hisham's position became clear, rather than accepting that it was a cock-up, that the intelligence services and the police, I think, between them, decided that to save face they needed a scapegoat. And the scapegoat was to be Hisham. And so they went through all sorts of things, discovered an irregularity in relation to his visa, and that allowed them to say, well, maybe we should just get shut of the guy as an illegal overstayer. And so Hisham was arrested, detained, when it was clear that he had no involvement in any terrorist conspiracy. And within moments of the release, he was rearrested, and the Home Office helpfully were offering to deport him within a matter of hours just to clean the slate up. And what was worse, so was the university. So was the university. And so within a matter of hours, there were all sorts of offers to provide evidence, testimony, support to the police in the preparation of this case, in which there was no case. And rather than engage with this in a way that says, on the principles of law and justice in the UK, you are innocent until proven guilty, that there has to be a legitimate charge that you face, and you have as citizens the right to address those charges in a court of law, to be tried before your peers, and with the right to defend yourself and rebut the accusations. None of that presumption of innocence was taken on the part of the university. It was quite clear that Hisham was to be as welcome as a fart at a funeral, as far as the university was concerned. And that continues to be the case today. And those who have been part of his support campaign defend and support and sustain Hisham in the face not just of a wretchedly incompetent and subsequently dishonest exercise by the intelligence services and the police, but an equally wretched and dishonest approach to the defence of its own staff by the university. And rather than say, well, look, let's put everything on hold until there has been a judgment on this matter, Hisham isn't quite persona non grata on the university, but his things have been parceled up, the job is no longer there for him to do. He survives because of the support of many of you on the campus and those in the campaign to say, you know, we cannot allow a descent into rough injustice, on the basis of someone being starved into non-existence and disappearance. So that it is a really important time for every one of us to step up to the mark and speak out in defence of the open society. Because what has happened here is that in many respects the university has led the charge into the closed society. And it is that old adage that when you walk away from one group or another group that you are not a part of, sooner or later the process ends up with you being on the receiving end of that prejudice, that victimisation, that injustice. So in making sure that there is a vigorous, active, outspoken campaign in support of Hisham's full reinstatement, it isn't really just about Hisham, it's about the defence of ourselves. It's about the defence of principles of honesty and integrity, a determination to stand up and defend justice and to challenge injustice before it makes its way to intrude and undermine on the basis of our own freedoms. And I think that that is why it's so important that the campaign has its outspoken core in this university itself. If the campaign is rooted only in the city, or only in the region, or only nationally, somehow this area, this wonderful, secluded, well-provided-for campus, can live in denial of its own collusive role in this process. There has been some terrific actions on the part of academic staff and colleagues, many of the students on different courses and departments, simply coming together and refusing to be part of that collusive silence. I suspect that the university authorities would dearly have liked this issue to have disappeared into the sand during the summer recess. I think it's a tribute to those who have been at the core of the campaign that they've not allowed it to do so. Hisham spoke at a fringe meeting at the Labour Party conference a couple of weeks ago and actually had the whole room just in stunned silence when he talked through in very reasonable terms a catalogue of ways in which he has been systematically sabotaged as a character. And I think that all of us owe him a debt, which is to reinstate him to the ordinariness, to the ordinariness of a human being. I'm not saying that in any pejorative way, because Hisham's place within university life and the campus and the peace movement here is a tribute to what you'd want a student at the university to be doing. But it wasn't a revolutionary student. He wasn't going to turn down the pillars of society. He was actually going to very peacefully seek to build the basis of a different sort of society. And to take that sort of person and turn them into the terrorist threat, into the persona non grata, I just think is outrageous. So that I hope that those of you who are here today in the middle of a chaotic and crowded week will see that the need is to try to root this campaign in every course, in every department, in every building, in every part of the campus, to the point where we require the university to change its position and actually put itself on side of Hisham's campaign rather than as far as it can be possibly removed from it. And I think if we can do that, the victory will be felt on every campus around the country, in every multicultural, multiracial city around the country, in every community that feels under the cosh around the country. So I want to thank you for coming. I'm sorry if I'm dashing off. I'm hoping that when things settle down in the next few weeks, that I'll be able to come back and do a longer and fuller meeting with you, because this isn't a hit and run visit. It's part of a long, non-negotiable series of visits and meetings that have to take place until Hisham is fully reinstated to his role and status and credentials that he began from and he thought he had established just before the tide of conspiracy events rolled over him. And it's a tribute to him and to you that neither he nor the campaign has been crushed by that. If we stand up for this, there is a much bigger victory within our grasp than I think any people realise. So thanks for still being here, Hisham. Thanks for those of you who've been part of the campaign that has ensured that he is still here. But there's a hell of a long way still to go to make sure that he's here, not on the basis of hanging on to straws and fragments, but by being restored to the central, acceptable, desirable position that he once occupied and needs to be restored to again. Thanks very much.
Thank you.